Hello, and welcome to How Do You Feel? The show that is dedicated to your health and wellness and is currently sponsored by the Peoria City County Health Department. I'm your host, Lorraine King, and today I am thrilled to be visiting with Dr. Leslie McKnight, who is Director of Community Policy and Health for the Peoria City County Health Department. Welcome, Dr. McKnight.
Thank you, Lorraine. It's always a pleasure to be on the show and to address my community. And to all, Happy New Year. We made it to 2023.
Yes, and we hope to make 2023 in any way possible better than 2022. And speaking of making things better, Dr. McKnight, even though the topic we're going to deal with today is about conflict, I just want to start off by asking, by saying to you that I remember that the Peoria City County Health Department stepped in to pay for the Cure Violence Assessment that was conducted by a Chicago organization when the Peoria City Council declined to do that. So can you tell us what the status is of that particular study or assessment?
Yes, the Cure Violence coordinators are finalizing the assessment as we speak. So within the next few weeks, we are anticipating the actual assessment document. And that document will have information, background information about our community crime statistics. They will have a recommendation on the neighborhoods where they believe cure violence would be most impactful. And in addition to that, there will likely be some recommendations on organizations that could potentially run the cure violence program. So they went through a full process where they interviewed many community members, whether there were organizational members, those that have been victims of violence, those that are doing the work to reduce violence in our communities, churches, social service agencies, businesses. So we are really anticipating their assessment. So more to come. Once we do get that document and it is available, we will have that on our website.
Okay.
The Peoria City County Health Department.
I'm definitely looking forward to that. Will there be any kind of public announcement to, you know, to inform people and make them aware?
Oh, absolutely. We'll probably issue a press release so that the media will also be aware that this document is available to the public.
Oh, okay, great. I will definitely keep my eyes peeled for that. And then I know last year when you and I talked on a number of occasions, you know, we talked about violence and homicide, you know, as a public health hazard. And I know that last year the homicides was about 10 less than the previous year, which was 35. Do you think that our community efforts have been helpful at all in bringing that number down?
Oh, absolutely. There's a direct impact from the work that our community has been doing to reduce gun violence. And I'm not just talking about, you know, organizations or institutions, but I'm talking about our neighborhood leaders, right? Those that are on the ground. I'm talking about family members, mm-hmm. you know, that are starting to get more involved in family members' lives and doing, and what we're going to talk about today, that conflict mediation to kind of de-escalate situations from turning into a violent act. So it takes a village. All hands have been on deck. Mm-hmm. Our police, the Peoria Police Department and our Sheriff's Department, they also have community engagement tactics as well. And I think as a collective, we have been able to work to reduce violent crime in Peoria.
Oh, that's great. Now, Dr. McKnight, can you share with our audience what are the types of conflicts and How do we know that we're in a conflict in this community?
Yeah. So, you know, fundamentally, conflict is nothing but disagreement, right? There's different points of views. There's not an agreement on those views. And that's okay. I mean, that's the human condition, right? We all have the way we think. We bring in our culture and our beliefs and our experiences, right? And so conflict in itself is not an issue because it's a human condition. But it's when these conflicts get escalated to the point where it becomes dangerous or it results in unhealthy behavior or an unhealthy impact. And that could be that conflict that if it goes unresolved, it can be a direct contributor to social, emotional, physical, and even financial harm. So again, you know, it's recognizing when you are in a conflict and how we navigate and manage through that conflict. The overarching goal should be to resolve it, you know, and it doesn't mean that, you know, that I have to get that other person to see it the way I do.
Right.
And then that's resolved. But it's like, how can we compromise? How can we agree to disagree? And most importantly, community, how can we move past it? And I think that's, you know, as we've been talking with our law enforcement, we've been talking with a lot of families and faith-based organizations about particularly violence. What has been the overarching theme is that the root cause of a lot of the violent acts in our community is conflict, is unresolved conflict. And so that's something that we have to be intentional about, and we have to call that out because we don't, you know, many of us really don't have the skill sets to navigate through that for a lot of different reasons. You know, it is paralyzing our community. And if conflict is unaddressed, it is a barrier to progress and growth, not just in our families, but in our community, in our nation. So we have to start talking about this because I'm a firm believer that people move in the direction of their conversations.
Now, you're absolutely correct when you say that conflict in itself, you know, is not something that's negative. You know, even in professional circles, you know, you're taught to resolve conflict and you learn other perspectives so you can come up with different solutions because you share your beliefs, even if they're not the same as the person you're dealing with. Now, tell me, you know, normally when we try to talk about resolving any particular issue, and you talked about root causes of unresolved conflict, what is it that you think triggers this negative response to conflict in our community, you know, as opposed to back when you and I might have been in school? You know, maybe we had to talk things out or had a conversation, but it just doesn't seem to happen that way now. People just automatically seem to go to the next level of negativity.
Right. Lorraine, there's so many factors, right? A lot of the factors is internal, right? It's us trying to basically just navigate through life, right? And especially those, you know, and I'm just going to be real, you know, those us that's, you know, African Americans, we're in marginalized communities, we're in survival mode, you know, we have financial issues, we're dealing with, you know, safety and climate change, and paying bills, and it's just, you know, it just compounds us, right? And so it makes us heightened. And then when there's continuous struggle, and disagreements can be a struggle, right? Mm-hmm. It could be very frustrating. It could be absolutely frustrating. And how we respond to that, that's what determines our state of being in our future. And if we're not in the practice of resolution, of, you know, listening and understanding and putting the work in, then it can escalate real quick, you know. And then those that, you know, we're in conflict with, you know, that could be agitating, right?
Yes.
And especially if that conflict goes beyond just those individuals, and then there's other people that are involved, and, you know, everybody has an opinion, and everybody's feeling like they need to choose sides. It could literally, Lorraine, turn into, like, a mini battle, right? And a battle could be part of a war. And then that's the part where it starts to get dangerous. And even if it's, you know, a conflict, if it grows, it can be contagious. And then it can literally start setting up these barriers, right? And it can literally break down relationships, even with people that you love and care about. So it's like a seed, right? It's a seed to this major impediment of movement and positivity. So that's why I wanted to talk with the community today about how to mediate conflict and how to quickly get to a resolution for yourself, for your own mental and physical and social health, but also the collective health of our community.
Thank you. Now, before we get into areas of resolution, I just like to remind any listeners who may have just joined us at 106.3 that the show you're listening to is called How Do You Feel? Today, I'm visiting with Dr. Leslie McKnight, who is the Director of Community Health Policy and Planning for the Peoria City County Health Department. And she's here to talk about ways we can help make the new year more peaceful, more productive by de-escalating conflict. So now we'd like to get into some of those areas of resolution. And Dr. McKnight, who is responsible for de-escalating all the conflict that's happening?
The core persons responsible, right, are the ones that are actually involved in the conflict. So I would say that, but also to expand it, I would also like to say those that care, right? Those that are seeking a positive and productive outcome. So that may be a person that sees it and sees it escalating, see it going into negative outcomes, and that person is like the intervener, right? And this goes back to like the cure violence model that we talked about, you know, in other interviews, but being that mediator, right? Because maybe those that are in conflict may have blind spots. They may not see it. They're set in their way. They've, you know, have supporters, and there's an impasse. Somebody, we need a neutral person or persons to get involved to help these individuals navigate and work through this conflict so that, you know, everyone can move forward. So I would say that. So who are these, you know, where does conflict show up? Right? It can show up at work. It can show up in your house. It can show up, you know, at church. It can show up anywhere.
Yeah, in the grocery store.
In the grocery store, right? It can show up anywhere. So, you know, what do we need? What skill sets do we need to have so that when it does show up, and it will show up, as long as you are in relationships or you're engaging with other people and you have a point of view, we are all susceptible to conflict. We cannot avoid it, right? But what we can do is know how to process it when it happens and then work towards a resolution. With that being said, Lorraine, this, what I'm about to say, these skills can apply to the individuals, and it can also apply to the mediators that's trying to get this positive resolution. So So the first thing you want to do when you are faced with conflict, and you know when it's fair because there's a disagreement, you may have a physical reaction. Like for me, the hair on the back of my neck starts standing up. I start like kind of panting a little bit, feeling anxious. Like that, you're going to know that you're in a situation, right? So yes. The first thing to do, Lorraine, is just to stay calm, right? Mm-hmm. Like if you can work on, I'm heightened, but let me calm down. If you're at work and, you know, a lot of times we get that email and then it's like, oh, no, they didn't, you know, and you yes. want to just do that knee-jerk response, right?
Yes.
That can get you in trouble. Like, step away. You, like, step away from the issue. Get your mind off it. Put it on something else. And let your body process and let it, you know, let it sink in before you give a response. So I would say the first thing to do is to stay calm.
Now that requires a lot of self-discipline, doesn't it, Dr. McKnight?
Absolutely. It's like a muscle, you know. You have to use your muscles in order for it to grow stronger. So staying calm has to be a form of practice. You know, it comes easier for some than others, and that's okay. Everybody don't have to be the same way. But we can have our own tools to help manage, you know, getting excited and getting anxious. You know, some people may need to go and take a walk. They may need to excuse themselves for that situation. They may need to revisit it another day. But again, you have to find what works best for you. So I would like to just challenge our community to find their own way and process to remain calm when they are faced with, you know, some type of disagreement with others.
You're absolutely right about finding your own way. I recall when I was actually in the workplace before I retired, I would type up an email to the person and say everything I could think of that I wanted to say, and I didn't worry about filtering anything, but I would not send the email. I would leave it there and then come back the next day after I slept on it and thought about it and processed it. And typically, I would delete it. Or there might have been some occasion where I would change it and make it much more palatable to the other person.
Right. Yeah. And you know what I found out with that too, Lorraine? That's a very good point, is that when you just let it sit on the shelf for a minute and come back to it, it's really not as bad as what, you know. Part of it is just reaction.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
But when you get beat past the reaction, you're like, you know what? They just had an opinion, or they're just telling me the way they want it to be done. And it's okay, right? Because it's that person and their perspective.
Yes.
So again, you know, it gives you time to analyze, to reflect, and to say really how important is this for me to be right or for me to take a stand. You know, it gives you some reflection time. So, you know, I would just, like I said, challenge everybody to find their own process to doing that.
Now, one of the things you said that makes a lot of sense is it just doesn't happen instantly. You have to practice it. So, you know, we're talking about ways in which we can de-escalate conflict. What suggestions would you have for us starting to assist other people with practicing that process so that when an event comes up, you know, they're better equipped to deal with it?
Yes. So communication is very critical, Lorraine. We can respond, we can say how we feel or what we believe, but at some point in communication, we have to listen. So you're not just listening to hear, but you're trying to listen to understand what that other person's point of view is in the context of it, right? Mm-hmm. It could be something that happened to them in the past. It could be, you know, a matter of distrust, or it could be just, you know, they feel it should be a certain way. Whatever that is, just try to listen to understand.
Yes.
Right? It don't mean you got to agree. But if you can understand what that other person is talking about, now it's adding meaning to it. It's not like, oh, they different and I'm wrong and they right.
Right.
But it's like, and you may learn something.
Yes.
You may say, you know what, I never even looked at it that way. You see what I'm saying? So you do that, and then you call that out, and you recognize that, right? And you look for, in your communication, similar things, right? So maybe it's not far right or far left, but it's somewhere in the middle, and that's just how you see it, too. So you pick out those points, right? So you can have some type of agreement on, okay, you and I are both passionate about this issue. And call out whatever, you know, you all do have in common. And again, with the overarching goal of trying to move forward where you don't get stuck and you don't get to a place that it becomes dangerous or unhealthy to all parties involved. And that takes you being tactful, too. You know, and I know this is a lot, and I'm not trying to be the school teacher or be people's moms. But again, you know, we have to recognize the internal skill sets we need so that we can be fully mentally healthy and whole, right? And we don't want conflict to hold us back to what opportunities we may have as individuals and as a community. Another thing I want to say, Lorraine, is that when you are communicating, you know, stop bringing up the past.
Yes.
Right? Because a lot of times in the past, both of the people were there. They know what happened. They know who said what and who got out of the line and who. We all know we were there, right, as an example. What can we do to move forward? Let's talk about moving forward. We can't live in the past because the past has already happened. So what can we do collectively to be in a productive, positive space to move forward? Somebody has to take the lead on that type of conversation in the conflict, right? Mm-hmm. We know what happened. We know how they felt. We know, you know, whatever, but what can we do to move forward? So the way to move forward is to ask the right kind of questions. So, yeah, in that conflict, you ask that person, how can we move forward? What can I do better? And again, it's not just you and being right. It's navigating so that you can continue to have a relationship with this person, or that you are deciding that whatever I was deciding to do with this person, especially if it's negative, especially if it's violent, that, okay, I'm not going to do it. I've talked myself down, or there's a third party that has assisted me, and now I am not going to respond negatively. And that's the goal.
Yes, and you said the people who are responsible, it might be an individual or it might be an organization like the Peoria City County Health Department. So the question I'd like to ask you now, you know, you said that the report from the Cure Violence Assessment is going to come out. Are there going to be recommendations so that individuals who might have been involved in escalating conflict or doing nothing about conflict, that they can become engaged in a positive manner?
Yes. The Cure Violence model is designed to have conflict mediators, and that's like their title, right? Mm-hmm. That's their job, is to mediate and to de-escalate conflict. So there's literally going to be a job description for that. These individuals will get trained on how to de-escalate conflict. And it's like an evidence-based curriculum that has proven, the research has proven that these strategies work. And the likelihood is that these will be community members and those that have been involved in, you know, prior, you know, activity that was detrimental to our communities. But now they've learned how to navigate, they have the wisdom, they have the knowledge, they know how to bring people together that are in this heightened state of anger, anxiety, they want to respond, they want to be violent, they want to get others to have these violent acts with them, but these conflict mediators will intervene in real time, mm-hmm. in real time, on these heightened issues to de-escalate it so it won't result into another act of violence. That's how important this is to deal. Conflict and violence are like married to each other.
Yes.
Right? And if we all, and we all, and this is not saying it's those type of people, it's all of us. All of us in some kind of way, you know, conflict can get to the point that we want to do something, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I need to take control of this situation, and how I do it is, you know, to be ill towards another individual. You know, that's the part, Lorraine, that we got to deal at that point right there, when that converges, that I'm so upset, I'm so into this conflict that I want to do ill towards someone. That point right there is where we need that intervention. And that's where we need families, friends, we need those that are concerned to get involved at that point, to go through these skill sets of remaining calm, telling them to listen, to focus on the future, to mindfulness, right?
Yes.
To create, you know what I mean? To de-escalate that part. Because once your mind has made a decision to do something, 9 times out of 10, Lorraine, it's going to happen. Because your mind won't let you rest. And we all been there. Like, we got to let it go. We got to learn to let it go. Right? L-I-G. Let it go, community. Let it go.
Now, Dr. McKnight, do you know exactly how long it'll be before the results of the assessment comes out? Because when it does, I'd like you to come back, you know, to highlight, you know, the findings and share that, because I can anticipate some of the people who might have been involved in escalating conflict might could be wind up being some of the ones who get trained and become very effective because they've been there.
Yes, yes, yeah, we can definitely continue this conversation, and hopefully, you know, our listeners are, you know, doing some self-reflecting, just in conflicts that they may be involved in, or those that they know about, you know, whether it's personally or it's in the community, and then thinking of ways, you know, how can I be a positive intervener to de-escalate, but also, you know, working to build these positive, more positive relationships so that we can get out of the fray of now there is, you know, increased violence in our community, whether that, you know, is domestic violence in the home, whether that's, you know, violence in the streets or violence in the schools. Like, it is time for us to get involved. It is time for us to learn our communities, learn our family members, learn our loved ones, so that we can be on point and we can recognize when they're in a state, you know, that they've emerged in this conflict and they can't get out of it, and it's causing mental and social harm to themselves and others. It's time for us to be these mediators and us to be intentional about working to de-escalate conflict. So, absolutely. So, to answer your question, yes, let's keep this we're going to keep this conversation going so that we can all as a community move forward to have an environment of peace. And, you know, and I know it's like peace. Oh, yeah, you know, there'll never be peace. Well, you know, we can work towards it.
Yes.
We can try.
Yes.
We can try. We'd be surprised what happens when we're willing to, you know, positively engage and we're willing to let things go that really don't have to lead. You know, it shouldn't be, Lorraine, that because I'm disagreeing with somebody that I have to go out and hurt them, or I have to get a group of people to not like them or to hate them or reject them or bully them. It should not get to that point just because I'm disagreeing with someone.
Yes, and it shouldn't be, I have to win. So if we can actively engage in conflict resolution, we can all win and all be empowered and form a very powerful block.
And we can learn from each other,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
Like, I can learn, like, how you deal with conflict or something you've experienced and how you got through it. If you're willing to share that with me, maybe that's going to help me in making my decisions and moving forward, right?
Yes.
So again, we gotta be real. What is winning, right? Is winning being right? Is winning being that I tore you down in whatever way and now I won? Or is winning really having peace? And winning is winning learning, and is winning building a positive relationship. So, you know, again, we all have to do the work for ourselves, for our families, those we love, and for our community.
Absolutely. Well, Dr. McKnight, thank you so much for coming on and taking the lead on this discussion. And I hope that everyone is going to be as excited about the results of this assessment as I am, because I can see all kind of good things coming out of it. And so I appreciate you coming on to talk about this, and I look forward to you coming on to share the highlights with us when the report does come out.
Yes, and my final thing I want to say to the community is be the voice of reason.
Yes, and being the voice of reason means we all win.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much for being with us. To our listeners, you've been listening to How Do You Feel? The show that's dedicated to your health and wellness and is sponsored by the Peoria City County Health Department. This show airs at 11 a.m. on Saturday and repeats at 7:30 p.m. on Sunday.
Now is always the right time.